and turn with me to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. In just a few moments, we will begin a study of that text again. I say again because it hasn't been too awfully long since we studied from this very same chapter. But you know, when you're reading through a text and you're dealing with a text, oftentimes, you know, you focus on one particular aspect of that text. And you draw a lesson out of it dealing with a particular perspective. And we've done that before. In fact, as we studied through this particular section of Scripture, Acts 8, verses 26 through 40, we focused on what must one do in order to become a Christian. And that's taught there in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. In fact, we could go back to Acts, the 8th chapter, earlier in the text, beginning in verse 5, and we could talk about the Samaritans. And we've done all of that. Well, I want, though, to focus in our lesson this evening on Philip, the evangelist. And I want to see if we can learn some important lessons from him. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we assembled, a few of us did, for our final training class on personal evangelism. And the need to be involved and engage ourselves in the realm of personal evangelism. Well, that's what Philip did. Philip was a man who was constantly engaged in personal evangelism. And we're going to study a text this evening where that is exactly what went on. Person to person. Evangelism that worked. So that's what we're going to be studying tonight. But first of all, I want to, and I hope you did turn to Acts, the 8th chapter, mark that text, because I want you to turn, first of all, though, back to chapter 6. Acts, the 6th chapter. Look at verses 3 through 5 with me, first of all, to begin with. I want to talk a little bit about the man Philip himself. What kind of man was he? If we're going to be personal evangelists, if we're going to be evangelists ourselves, and by the way, let me make this observation. I am an evangelist, and that I have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some people, of course, have the idea of an evangelist being one who travels. Well, I've done that too. I've done that some. Not as much as I'd like, but I've done it some. But we're all evangelists in one way or another. Every single one of us. You could rightly, correctly say we're all preachers. Now, the question may be, what are we really preaching? You know, what is our message? Because we're all preaching something. Our everyday life is preaching something. The question is, what are we preaching? Are we preaching truth? Are we preaching a lie? Are we preaching error? Are we preaching hypocrisy? What are we preaching? We're all preachers. So we need to understand that fact. But I want to note a little bit about this man, Philip. What kind of man was he? Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 beginning. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Now, these men were chosen. In fact, verse 6 goes on and says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. These men were chosen. It is clearly implied in the text that these men were chosen because they were individuals who had good reputations, they were full of the Holy Spirit, and they were full of wisdom. Philip was one of the men chosen, so therefore, what kind of man was he? What kind of reputation did he have? He had a good reputation, didn't he? He was full of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, being full of the Holy Spirit in our day and time would mean that we are full of the Holy Spirit's words. We know what the Holy Spirit has revealed in His Word. And not only that, of course, He is animating us through His Word. We are lively people because we have been born again of the Word, and we are living that life because we are being guided by His instruction. And of wisdom. We have taken the Scriptures, we have a working knowledge of God's will, and we are able to help others understand it. We are wise because of our reception of God's Word. Well, this is the kind of person that Philip was. He had a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. When persecution broke out, let's turn over to Acts, the 8th chapter. What kind of man was Philip? You know, true character is tested when times get hard. That's when you find out the mettle of an individual. When times get difficult. A great persecution arose in the church. In fact, you can read in Acts 8 and verse 1, now Saul was consenting to his death. That's Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him and his for Saul. He made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Verse 4, therefore those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered. Why? Because of the great persecution that existed in Jerusalem. They were being persecuted because of their faith. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. He was one of those who had been scattered abroad. Why? Because of persecution. If persecution were to arise in Little Rock against Christians, what would you do? Would you be quiet? Would you not tell anybody or let anybody know that you were a Christian? Or would you, you're going to preach to somebody and the people in Jerusalem don't want to hear you, go somewhere else? If you were forced to leave Little Rock, would you go somewhere else preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what Philip did. Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ. He preached Christ to them. In fact, it says in verse 6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. As you go on down, look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and of the name Jesus and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Philip was a man who went, he preached, he was enthusiastic, no doubt about it. He was enthusiastic about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because people took heed to him. And by the way, he was in a battle. You know, he leaves Jerusalem, he leaves persecution, he gets to Samaria, and now he's in another kind of battle. Now he's battling false teacher. And in battling the false teacher had won a lot of people to himself. So Philip was, in a sense, competing with this false teacher who was doing all these other signs. And the people were attributed to him, the great power of God. But Philip went and he preached the gospel and he was successful. Later in this very chapter, we find that the Holy Spirit, well, an angel first appears to him in verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. So we have the instruction, and what did Philip do? He did what he was told to do. Now we talked quite a bit about personal evangelism, and we have for months now. We've talked about it and talked about it. What was the last thing I said before we concluded the class? It's time to stop talking and do what? Start doing. It's time to rise and go. It's time to get busy. It's time to put some of these things into practice. And he went. He went where God sent him. Without question. Didn't complain about it. We don't have any record whatsoever of him complaining. He just got up and went where God told him to go. So no doubt he was a man who was willing to do God's bidding. Now, in this lesson, what I want to do, I want to look at basically two things. Only two things. Number one, the proper attitudes needed to teach others. I think we can learn some lessons from Philip regarding the proper attitudes that we need to have in order to teach somebody else. Secondly, some proper techniques that we can use to teach somebody else. We're going to talk about some of those this evening. We talked about methods in our training class tonight, and we'll speak of some of those again tonight. And some of this will be things that we've already studied and learned. Some of this will be new material or new thoughts. But nevertheless, the proper attitudes and the proper techniques. We can learn some things, not everything, but we can learn some things from Philip. First of all, right back to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charges of all her treasury, or had charge of all her treasury, and had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Philip was told, instructed to go. What did he do? He went. No, we are told, each and every one of us, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. In fact, most of you don't even have to turn there, do you? You know this. You've commemorated this particular passage to memory. Committed it to memory. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It has been good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but under a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Listen to him. This is the command part. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine. Do you have an obedient attitude towards Jesus Christ and His instruction? Are you an individual that's willing to let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works, and that by seeing your good works they glorify your Father in heaven? Now they're not just, and by the way, the application and the extension of this is not that they just see your good works and say, oh, praise the Lord, I'm so glad that He's such a good person. That's not the concept at all. The idea is that that person is influenced by your life, that they take up the cross as well as you and follow Jesus Christ. And therefore, God is glorified because others are reached by your life. That's the idea. Obedience. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, here the Apostle Paul is speaking of the commission that was given to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 6, he says this, that's not the right passage, is it? Verse 16. I left the one out. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16 says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Why is it that the Apostle Paul would say such a thing? Why is it that he would say, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel? Because God had commissioned him to preach the gospel. Now, which one of us here tonight can say that I have absolutely no responsibility to share my faith with others? How many of us can say that? We all have a responsibility to share our faith. What we can to the best of our ability, and that, by the way, is to be continually improving as we grow and mature in Christ. But we are to be able and willing to take what we have and share it with others, because I'll tell you right now, friend, if you do not share what you have with others, your faith in Christ, then that demonstrates, more than anything else, a lack of love for your neighbor. We are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we are withholding the most important thing that our neighbor could possibly ever have, the gospel of Jesus Christ, from him, then how are we walking charitably with our brother? How is it that we are walking in love? We are commanded to love. And the Apostle Paul says, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Friend, let me tell you something. Woe unto you if you do not do what you can to share your faith with your friends and your neighbors. Woe unto you. We talked tonight about three motives, three possible motives. Need, desire, and the last one was what? Fear. Fear. We are motivated sometimes by fear, and there's nothing wrong with being motivated properly by fear, at least especially in the beginning. But we need to recognize that. Woe unto me if I do not. Obedience is required if we're going to serve the Lord. Now, what about Philip? He was a man who obeyed, wasn't he? He didn't ask questions, he just got up and went. Secondly, look at verse 27 of Acts, the 8th chapter. Verse 27 says, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. A man. You know, Philip was in Samaria teaching a lot of people. He probably had several occasions in which he spoke to many, many people at once. Big crowds. They all gave heed to him, the scripture says. But now he's being called to go and teach one man. One man. How important is it to just sometimes teach one person? One person. The right person. If you can talk to one person, convince them of the truth of the gospel, just that one person, a person of zeal, like the Apostle Paul, for example, a person who is committed and going to be committed to the Lord, one person, there is no telling what the consequences of just converting that one person will be in the kingdom of the Lord. Willingness to teach just one. Over in the 18th chapter. In the 18th chapter in verse 26 and following. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. Now this here has reference to Apollos. And he is preaching boldly. But then it says, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside, explained to him the way of God more accurately. Here is a man who needed to be taken aside. And Aquila and Priscilla did just that, and they explained the way of the Lord more accurately to him. Sometimes, you know, yes, individual, personal, one-on-one teaching is required. And we need to be willing to do that. One-on-one or many doesn't matter. Philip was a man who was willing to teach anybody. Anybody that would listen to him. Are we willing to do that? Something else we learn. Philip was unprejudiced. He was unprejudiced. Look at verse 27 again. Acts 8 and verse 27. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, and a queen of the Ethiopians who had charge of all her treasure. And he comes to Jerusalem to worship. Now, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1 prohibited a eunuch, from entering into the temple and worshiping. Well, that's one thing, but I think something else, though, can be learned. Here you have one man who is of another nation. He is from somewhere else. He is not of you. You know what? It doesn't make any difference what the color of somebody's skin is. We're all the same color inside, every single one of us. We all bleed with the same blood. Every single one of us are created by God, and every single one of us will stand before Him on the day of judgment. And every one of us, we're going to give an account to Him and how we've lived our life. We're all equal in the sight of God, every single one of us. Philip wasn't prejudiced. It didn't make any difference what the color of this man's skin was. And it should make absolutely no difference to you or me what the color of anybody's skin is, whether it's pink, purple, yellow, brown, or black, red or yellow, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're all the same color inside. We're all people. Equal people. And we need to recognize that. Acts the 10th chapter, verses 34 and 35, the Apostle Paul made this very proclamation. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of who? All. He is Lord of all. And all who have not heard that gospel need to hear it. And everybody needs to learn how to fear God and how to work righteousness, therefore how to be accepted by Him. Everybody needs to hear that. And who will take it to them unless we take it to them? Doesn't make any difference about the color of their skin, where they come from. Their nationality has absolutely nothing to do with it. Something else, too. Look at verse 30. Here in Acts 8, verse 30. Well, let me back up to verse 29 first. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" What did Philip do? He ran. He ran. You know, there are really two reasons to run. Well, I guess there are more than that. I guess you could say three. Okay, just one for exercise. People today like to do it for exercise. And some of you may be into that, just running for exercise. You're doing it for your physical health. Okay, that's a reason for running. Another is something bigger and badder than you is chasing you. That'd be a good reason to run too, wouldn't it? I'm running away from something. Or another reason is that we're running to something that we're interested in. I mean, we've got a prize or we have something that we're interested in. And that's exactly what Philip was doing here. He ran to this man's chariot. You can just see the excitement in this. He's running to this man. He wants to talk to this individual because he's been told to. But we need to understand that there is urgency in teaching others the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, there we are told that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So who needs the gospel? Everybody. We all need the gospel. There is not a soul alive that doesn't need the gospel. Everybody needs it. Romans 6 and verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. So the consequences of people not getting the gospel is that they're going to die in their sins. So we need to recognize the urgency in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever you do, do it with all of your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. That's what we see with Philip. He was doing what he was told to do, and he was doing it with all of his might. He was running to meet this man and discuss the scriptures with him. We need to be people who recognize the urgency of preaching the gospel, the need to recognize others' need and do what we can to help them learn the truth. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18, Galatians 4 and verse 18, but it is good to be zealous and a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. Are we zealous? Are we zealous in living for the Lord and serving the Lord and teaching and helping others come to a knowledge of the truth? Isn't that a good thing? It's always good to be zealous in a good thing. Not just when someone's watching, but always do what we can. Okay, those were some attitudes that we learned from the eunuch. Now what about some effective techniques to reach others? We learned some things. Look at verse 30 again. Acts 8 and verse 30. What do we learn here? Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He didn't run up to him and said, "You're just a dummy and you don't understand what you're reading, do you?" He didn't do that. One of the points that we talked about earlier was you cannot be antagonistic to someone and expect them to listen to you. No, that's not the type of question that was asked at all. Philip ran up and he asked the man a question that was relevant. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Bill Engvall, but he's got a CD, and I hadn't heard all this stuff, and I don't want to hear all this stuff, but I do know the general gist of Bill Engvall, and that is, here's your sign. And he, you know, uses some illustrations about people, you know, some stupid questions that people ask. Like if you're there on the side of the road and there's a bunch of smoke coming out from under your car hood and you've got the hood up and you're digging around in the engine and someone pulls over and says, "Having car trouble?" You know, well, here's your sign. You know, this fella needs to learn that stupid questions like that, you know, don't need to be asked. We need to ask good questions. We need to think about that. Asking questions is good if we ask the right ones, if we know what to ask. We need to know where people are in order to ask them the right kind of questions. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we need to be willing to ask questions because, by the way, asking questions can often break the ice and start conversation. If we know what people are interested in, ask the questions about their interest. If we know their desires, what they're needing, ask questions that will help them find an answer. And that's exactly what we see Philip doing. Do you understand what you're reading? And of course he answered, "How can I unless some man showed me?" So what happens next? He says, "Come up into my chariot and let's talk about this." Verse 31. And he said, "How can I unless someone guide me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. No, Philip was accommodated. Philip climbed up in the chariot and he sat there and he explained to this individual the things that he was reading. In fact, as we go on through chapter 8, verses 32 through 34, we see that very thing. At verse 35. So, Philip was accommodated. You know what? Sometimes if we're going to be teaching someone else the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can't work on our schedule. We have to be willing to work on their schedule. Because the truth is, friend, you've got a soul out there that has interest for a moment. You need to take advantage of that moment when you have it. It may not be there very long. Be accommodating. Drop whatever it is that you're doing and go sit down with that individual and study with him. Accommodating. Whatever ball game you're watching, whatever book you're reading, whatever you're doing, take the time to sit down and study with him. Make an appointment and get it done. Be accommodating. Something else we can learn. Start where they are. And as I said, verses 32 and 33, he's reading from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Philip knew where he was reading from. Philip began right there where he knew he was. And he taught him from that point. This is a very important lesson regarding personal evangelism. You cannot start where somebody is not. You have to start where they are. This is one of the fundamental rules in teaching. You cannot teach someone trigonometry when they don't understand 1 plus 1 equals 2. You just can't do it. You have to start where they are and you have to work your way up. And when we're studying with someone who is in the denominational world, we talked about this in our training class tonight as well. When someone has been taught denominational error, you know what you have to do? The number one thing you have to do? You have to know how they think. You have to know what they've been taught. Now, I know that there are some brethren who don't think that that's important. It's not important to know what other people believe. They're wrong about that. You need to know what they know so that you can help them do away with it and come out of that. And I'll tell you something. I think some of our brethren have grossly misunderestimated the importance of that point. And sometimes we may know how to answer some of these simplistic forms of their understanding without really getting to the root of it. And we just, you know, eventually we get into an argument with them, and eventually we just cast them off as a bunch of dummies. They don't know what they're talking about. But the truth is, there is an underlying theology that they have developed, and we need to get to the root of the problem. We need to truly understand their position. Again, you know, when you talk about Calvinism, for example, I thought I understood Calvinism. I thought I did. I was wrong about that. I understand it, I think, now. Spent almost 2 years now studying it in depth, and I tell you, there is something fundamental there that I did not understand before. I think now I can take a Calvinist, if they're willing to study, and get them out of it. You got to get them past that point, though. Because an entrenched Calvinist is going to be very difficult to study with. But you have to start where they are. You have to understand where they're coming from if you're going to be effective in untangling that web that they have that they have in their mind that's developed because of false teaching. Use Scripture. Use the Word of God. Now, this is very effective for those individuals who want the Word of God. It's not going to be effective for somebody who wants to be cuddled and somebody who wants to be told how beautiful they are and how wonderful they are. That's not going to be that effective for them. Only for the people who want the truth. That's who we're after. Those individuals want to hear what the Scriptures say because they respect them. Now, if they don't respect Scriptures, you're going to have to back the truck up. You're going to have to develop in them a respect for Scripture. So you're going to have to back up even further. That's just another part of that, knowing where they are. But we need to use Scripture and be able to use Scripture to talk with people. That's exactly what Philip did. He used the very Scripture that this man was reading from, and he taught him Jesus Christ, verse 35. And then beginning at this Scripture, preached Jesus to him. We need to know the Scriptures, and we need to be able to use the Scriptures effectively. Not just throwing a bunch of passages out to people. Okay, you need to read, here are the five steps of salvation right here. Boom, 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 boom. Now, take that and do it. It's not really that simple most of the time. We have to start with where they are, and then we have to take their Scriptures, and we have to lead them with their Scriptures to an understanding of the truth. Elmer Moore has always said, and he's right about this, every answer to every question about any particular passage is found in the passage itself. He's right about that. Just you let them use their passage. You start with their Scripture, where they are, and you go through the context, back up a few verses, go down a few verses further, show them the context, and explain the truth of what the passage is teaching. Then you can move on to something else and continue your study with the Scripture and teaching the truth to them. Use the Scriptures. Be equipped and able to use the Scriptures. Not just your proof text, but be able to use their proof text. Be able to use their Scripture. Because every false religion out there, friend, you know what? They have Scripture that they think teaches their false doctrine. So you have to be able to use that and show them how their particular understanding of this passage is incorrect in a nice, loving, kind way. Be opportunistic. This goes along with being accommodative, but notice what happens in verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he, that's Philip, commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Well, Philip was opportunistic in that there was an opportunity the eunuch saw. Okay, I want to be baptized. Philip didn't say, "Let's go on down the road and find a better place." No, you take advantage of the opportunities that you have. Don't let them pass by. You know what a lot of preachers would have done today is said, "Well, you know, here we are out in the middle of nowhere. Here's an old puddle of water out here. I think we can find one a little cleaner than this. Let's go on into the next town or wherever." No, you take advantage of the opportunities that you have. Be opportunistic. When you have a door open to you to teach somebody, please, please take advantage of it right then. Don't wait until a more opportune time. Take advantage of it right then. Get that person and try to always have some cards or something. And I try, and I got caught in Pine Bluff yesterday without a card in my pocket. And I wish, you know, I had remembered to put my cards in my pocket. I give them away. That's good to give them away. But I need to replenish my stash here. So I didn't have one, and I wish I did. Well, I missed an opportunity. We need to have something that we can give to someone, you know, to set up a study or do anything we can. Be opportunistic. When you find someone that wants to study the Scriptures with you, take advantage of the opportunity right then. Don't let it get cold. Don't say, "Well, I'll call you back in a couple of days." Or call, and here's a bad, this is a don't do right here. Call me back later. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because they probably won't. Get their number and call them. Set a time up right then. Do something. Set something in stone, more so to speak. Take advantage of the opportunity right then. Teach others. You know what Philip did? When he got through with the eunuch, he had taught the eunuch to the point where the eunuch had become a Christian. The eunuch could then go on and he could grow and he could learn on his own. But now Philip, in verse 39, says, "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way." The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But Philip, what's he doing? "Was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." He just kept on preaching. He just kept on teaching. And that's something else that we see. We have to keep on. You know, we may find success in one. Okay, don't stop and relish in your victory. Keep going. Because those victories sometimes are far between. Keep teaching. Keep going. Philip just kept on teaching. Kept on teaching. You know, the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed a lot of seed out there. Matthew chapter 13 tells us. He sowed a lot of seed. But only a small portion of that seed brought forth fruit. On our radio program, we're trying to throw the seed out there. We may eventually have one or two people obey the gospel right here. We may have others. We may have somebody get on our internet site, get on our website, go to our radio program, listen to some of those radio programs, and obey the gospel in Nigeria or in Honduras or somewhere in Russia or in Iraq. Who knows? Who knows? We got to throw that seed out there. We have to continue to teach others. on a personal level, you just have to keep going and keep teaching. Keep teaching. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have. We need more like Philip. Donna said in our class this evening, she said she's been praying for workers. We need workers. We need people who are willing to work. We need people who are willing to stand up and yes, be responsible. We need people who, and by the way, you know what? I know that things aren't perfect. They never have been, never will be. We're all growing and learning together. But I will say this, instead of complainers and people dragging us back and holding us back, we need people to get on board and help us push a little bit and help us pull a little bit, help us get some things done. That's what we need. We need workers. We need more like Philip. People who are willing to go and preach the gospel. When persecution arises, let's just keep on going. Let's go preach the gospel. Take advantage of the opportunities that we get. There are many out there who don't want the gospel. There's no doubt about that. There are many today, in fact, you know, you look at in this very auditorium tonight. Our numbers, you know what? It's kind of discouraging when you go by the big First Baptist Church down or the Guy Springs Baptist Church down here on I-30 and you see all those hundreds of vehicles out there, probably 300 or 400 vehicles, 200 or 300 maybe. Who knows? I didn't stop and count them, but there's a bunch. But people aren't interested in the truth. That's understandable. That's understandable. But we must continue to preach. We must continue to teach in season and out of season. That's what we have to do. And understand this. Never forget this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talked about how he planted and Apollos watered. But what? God gives the increase. We must teach. We must continue to teach. And trust that God will give the increase. The power is in the Word, friend. The power is in the gospel. Philip believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached Christ to the Samaritans. He preached Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. It brought forth fruit, and the gospel will do the same thing today when we preach it and teach it in its simplicity and its purity. It will work. We just have to be willing to go out and teach it. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing the best that you can in teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to others? Some lessons from Philip, the evangelist. You know, again, we can take the same text. Someone said on the radio program here a while back, you sure do like Acts 8, don't you? Well, yes, I do. There are so many lessons from Acts, the 8th chapter. It is a wonderful chapter. There are a lot of things that you can prove doctrinally from Acts chapter 8. There are a lot of things that you can demonstrate from Acts chapter 8 regarding the plan of salvation. And here we can learn something even about personal evangelism and about the work of a man who is striving to do all he can to serve his Lord and his Master. He was a man of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. He had a fire for the Lord. What about you? What about me? Are we doing the best we can? Are we like Philip? How we need more of him, more individuals like him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You know, you can be like that eunuch. Here's water, right back here behind this curtain. Here's water. What hinders you from being baptized? If you're not a Christian, what hinders you tonight from being baptized? Never obey the gospel. Right now, you can give your life to the Lord by submitting to His instruction. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said. Do you trust Him? Do you believe that? What did he say? If you are a Christian, you're not living as you should, you need to change. Come to Him. Return to Him. He'll forgive you. We can help you in any way. Won't you come? Stand and sing.